Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Live.
Welcome to the 5-Minute Major. It is Nick in New York. I am here on a blustery, wintry day here in upstate New York on the 17th of January. Happy to be with you all and happy to be with my friends here this evening, Jared Mason, Mike Berg, and a new member to the Wild Extra family, Heather. Heather, welcome to the team. Welcome to the show. We are super glad to have you here. What do you have to say for yourself?
Thanks. It's good to be part of the team and talking to people who apparently love hockey as much or more than I do.
Outstanding. Before we get into the Heather Odyssey by which you came to be with Wild Extra, let's go around the horn and introduce the rest of the people on the show this evening. Doubles, unfortunately, is away on assignment, which means he's reffing. But nonetheless, we still have Jared Mason. Jared, what's a good beer for a really shitty winter night?
Highest ABV possible, for the warmth. To add the warmth. I took the family bowling tonight, which was very domestic, but it was a lot of fun. I think we had a Widmer, we had a Surly Furious, and now I'm back to the old standard of the season, Sierra Nevada Celebration, or Selly, as we like to call it, Dangle, Snipe, and Selly.
Good on you. All right, and that also means we got Mike Berg in the house. Mike, any youth hockey stories of your own for this evening?
I was outside yesterday in minus 20 degree weather. It was fucking cold. I was watching my son play in an outdoor tournament. Why they're having 8-year-olds play outdoors hockey in the middle of January is beyond me, but it was a blast. Kids had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun watching them and hiding in sight when I had a chance. And Mason, I will raise your celebration. I will see your celebration and raise you a bent pedal cold press black.
For sure. That's good too. I bet you were complaining more than your kid though, right? About the weather.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. and I just finished a Johnny Walker Blue mixed with the Coke.
No, you didn't, you son of a bitch. You did not.
You mixed it with Coke?
You may as well just piss on it and throw it away. Light it on fire and throw it away.
I'm gonna conference call punch you in the face.
I would never do that. Okay. I know better than that, especially with Nick on the line.
Yeah.
I had I've got to do an anecdote here. Back in college in Mankato at the Quads, I had a roommate who on like a Friday, he went to the MGM warehouse, of course, and bought like an 18 Glenn Levitt, I believe. Mm-hmm. And everyone went, the other three of us that were roommates, we all went home for the weekend, and everybody showed up on Sunday, and we're like, dude, hey, how's that, 18 Glenn? He was like, oh, it was great. Yes, he sounded like a clown. He was like, oh, it was great. I just mixed it with some, Mr. Pibb raspberry all weekend, and it's gone.
Oh, man.
They wasted like a $50 bottle of Glenn on some, some god-awful flavored soda.
Ugh. Brutal.
Yeah, I ran with some pretty cool people back in college.
Well, so let's get back to Heather for a minute. Heather, in the first place, all this drinking talk. What's your imbibement of choice?
Oh gosh, I am not as fancy as other people. I usually just, a light beer is fine with me. I guess Summit EPA is the other non-light beer that I don't drink, I guess. But otherwise, a Mick Golden Light, it's pretty basic and boring.
Yeah.
That's a solid recommendation, and I also like that you just dropped the first gosh ever on the 5-Minute Major.
Yeah, tell them to fuck off. That's totally cool. all right. So, Heather, tell us about, what's your sort of origination story here? People want to get to know you as part of the Wild Extra family. So tell us how you got into hockey, how you got into writing, and how you got into writing about hockey, and et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. Well, I pretty much started, becoming a fan of hockey when the Wild started. That's kind of when I started just paying attention to sports in general and found out I really enjoyed watching hockey. And then, you know, I'm a writer anyway, and I just found out in college that I really love to write about sports more than just general news, and it kind of went from there. After I graduated, I started my own sports blog just kind of for fun, and it was just kind of more of a hobby, really, to just, you know, put my opinions out there, and it's, you know, mostly about the Wild and the Twins. And the more I watch, the more I learn and enjoy it, and, you know, then also get frustrated when things don't go well, because let's face it, we're in Minnesota, so, you know, we all know how being a sports fan of Minnesota teams is, but, I've gotten really involved with social media, too, and the discussions on Twitter during games are so much fun. That's one of the big perks, too, was just connecting with kind of this online community and talking about hockey.
Yeah, outstanding. Well, for those of you listening who have not read the couple of blog posts that Heather had previously put up on Wild Extra, once you start reading her, you're in for a treat. She's a great writer. We're very lucky and happy to have her, and she's going to make a terrific addition to the team, along with our other new writer, Tyler, who is not on the program tonight, who we hope to have on it in the near future. The Wild Extra family got stronger by a factor of two because we added two strong writers, and that's all to the better of everybody involved. So welcome again, and let's jump right into the Wild stuff here. The first question I'm going to toss out to you is, the Wild sits now 45 games played through the season, 52 points. As we all know, they just had finished their best first half of the season in team history points-wise. However, that was four games ago and four losses ago, as this team has now really, 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 really fallen off the map.
A lot of relief.
Yeah, it's a lot of really. I could throw a couple more in if you really wanted me to.
Really would love to hear that.
The bottom line is they just suck right now. So here's the question. They sit in the first wild card spot, fourth in the Central, 4 points up on the second wild card spot, which is Nashville, and also 4 points up on the first team out of the wild card, which is Vancouver. Jared Mason, is this Wild team in trouble, and how do you define trouble of what?
I mean, just over halfway through the season, I mean, looking at the way they've played the last four games, like, it's hard to say that they're not in trouble. But with the amount of volume of games that we have left, it's also really hard to say that they can't turn it around. But that's the hard part. They've got to turn it around before, you know, we can say they're out of trouble. If they continue to play like the assholes that they've been playing like, then they're definitely in trouble. But if they can figure it out, there's plenty of time to kind of, you know, hang on to their wild card spot, if not the second wild card spot. It would take a miracle such as Dubnyk to really think that they could get up into the top three for the Central at this point. But then again, like you said, they've had an historic kind of first half of the season, and maybe they can turn it around and impress us even more than they did last season. But we all, you know, as we've talked about many times on this show, where, you know, to expect anything like a run that we had last year would be ridiculous. So we've got to expect that it's going to take a lot more work to down the stretch to improve our situation. The good thing that they've got going for them is that they're in a pretty good situation now, and now they just got to take their heads out of their asses and start playing hockey.
Okay.
I don't know if that was a yes or a no.
I don't either. Yes and no question, though. I feel certain about that. So
yeah, and I brought that topic up too, and I didn't even answer it. So yeah, you know what? That's the
Mike,
Wild for you.
Okay, Mike, listen. It was a really easy question. Okay. Is the Wild in trouble, and in trouble of what?
I beg to differ.
Actually,
They're not in trouble. I don't think that they're in trouble of missing the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. Is someone like Dubnyk going to come in? I don't know. Maybe we can circle back to this.
No.
Whether or not Chuck Fletcher wants to bring in another center like Drouin or Couture or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I think regardless of whether that happens, Fletcher could stand pat at the end of this season, and I would be fully confident that this team would not only make the playoffs, but at the very least give a good run for their money against whoever they're playing against, unless it's Chicago. This team has a way of figuring it out, pulling their heads out of their asses and getting on the right track. We're Minnesota sports fans, so of course we're going to lose our shit when the team loses their shit. And, I think that's just part of the process of being a fan of Minnesota sports teams, that, you're going to have your heart broken for a little bit. But I do think that this team does have a chance of coming back. I think that, the last couple of games have been really hard to watch because they've just been so boring. But, if they can get back to what they're fundamentally good at, I really am not all that concerned. This pattern is not going to sustain itself for the next 36, 37 games. They're going to figure it out. They're going to pull their heads out. Whether Mike Yeo is going to smash a few sticks or not, I don't know how that's going to work itself out, but I'm confident that at some point here that they will get themselves back on track, and they'll either hold out of that playoff spot or they'll, take advantage of a few games in hand and actually, get into the top three in the division.
What is the minimal acceptable outcome for the Wild for this season in your eyes?
What?
Nick's breaking up.
Yeah, I'm
breaking up.
That.
All right, sorry. Heather, what?
You sounded like Bowie in space there.
Heather, this is for you. What is the minimal acceptable outcome for this team for this season in your eyes?
I think a lot of people have said they need a step forward. They need to do something to move forward. And I know the past 3 years in the playoffs, you keep thinking, okay, they're going to take that next step. They're going to do something to improve. And I mean, last year, that series to Chicago, the season ended just flat like that. And, for me going into it, I thought, okay, they're going to need to win two rounds of the playoffs. They need to do that to make their step forward. And I still think that that's what needs to happen. I don't know if it will. I'm not sure, but I think that would be a huge step up for this team, obviously. I mean, it's kind of the obvious choice, too, since, they've won the first round, haven't won the second. I don't know. I mean, it's tough with these midseason slumps, too, because, I feel like especially last year, obviously, I think we can all agree it was just kind of this rare magical thing, Dubnyk coming in, but from what I remember, it was almost like the team had no answers and the players were just kind of walking around. It was like they were kind of waiting for, the front office to bring someone in to, maybe obviously they didn't foresee that happening, saving their season, but it's kind of like they were just sort of like waiting around and, at some point they have to kind of look around and say, okay, this is the team we have right now. Someone's got to step up here and we need to start making things happen. And I think it's tough when, especially you're shut out twice like that, then they tend to press and try to maybe make plays that they wouldn't normally make, and it just can kind of make things worse. But, I think it's all about a step forward, and it's tough to see that happening. I'm not sure, especially with, you look at what the other teams are doing, and it's hard to, give away points in those overtime games. It's hard to, lose games to divisional opponents because it's so tight. And if you lose a few games, that's really hard to recover from sometimes.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense to me. Based on that.
What? What?
Nick?
Am I still jumpy?
Get out of the microwave.
Based on that, I think this team is in trouble. Because even if you say...
Based on that, okay, there you go.
Even
you're
if you
good,
smooth out
robot
the
Nick.
Last four games, right? Even if you smooth out the last four games and say they're clearly not going to sustain that level of suckitude over a long period of time, they've done nothing on balance to prove to me that they are taking the next step this season to get ready to take the next step in the playoffs.
They've done nothing to prove that we've taken the next step.
Yeah, I think I heard that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. It's especially Heather, like the what really you know since Dubs isn't here, I've got to say which really grinded our gears last year was that
round.
Oh, they got a middling goaltender that we all thought was middling. I think that's fair in Dubnyk at that time, and then they suddenly started playing well in front of them. Like they could have been playing that well the entire time in front of our other shitty goaltenders, but they weren't. They were waiting for that trade. They got that trade, and then they started they decided to play as well as we all thought they could play, which was the most frustrating thing. Happy to see it happen, but it's still frustrating as hell to see basically guys flip a switch and start playing well.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
No. Well, I was just going to say that the team is. You just look at them, you feel like, God, you're capable of doing something so that you don't have to be right up against it all the time at the end of the season, trying to sneak into the playoffs and, getting that last seed or whatever. I think that's what's hard, too, is it's like, God, that potential is there. Why does it always have to be so difficult? I feel like the answer is something other than, well, it's a Minnesota team. They have that potential.
Yeah, there's no reason why this team has to give up the first goal within the first 3 or 4 minutes every freaking game, and they're doing it, and then they're playing from behind, and they can't do it. They're sleeping through the first 50 minutes, and then they turn it on for the last 10 minutes, and they're like, oh, it was very impressive, like how hard they're trying, and it's like, well, if you fucking had played with this kind of effort in the first 10 minutes, you wouldn't have gotten yourself into this position. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that, we noticed in the Todd Richards era, and this goes back to, like, the end of the Jacques Lemaire and the beginning of the Todd Richards era, this team was so inconsistent. It would either be from game to game, or it would be, they'd be awesome in the second period, really bad in the first and third.
Yeah.
I guess throw this to you, Heather. I mean, do you think that this is something that, do you see this as still happening? I guess I see it, flashes of that every now and then, but I see a more consistent team now. I mean, is that tracking with what you've been seeing from the team lately?
That they're being more consistent or that it...
Yeah. Well, the consistency, inconsistency.
Compared to Todd Richards.
compared to Todd Richards, that's a whole nother issue. But I have noticed, it seems like the first period this year to me, just from what I remember, is been maybe the biggest issue. And I don't know that that's, changed all that much. It seems like, especially lately, it's, them getting behind. But especially it's, can you guys score a goal in like the first 3-4 minutes? that just doesn't happen. And, then you watch the games and they'll sit there and talk about how, we came out flat. And I mean, you could just press, the recording because it's the same thing. They came out flat. We weren't ready for the play, start of the game. And it's like, okay, well, what time the game starts. It's just frustrating to see. I don't know. It's just frustrating to see that over and over. And I feel like I've seen that a lot more this year than maybe I've noticed before. And, I know obviously that happens. They're not, sometimes you don't have those games where you're playing, a full 60 minutes of hockey. You're not playing the same way throughout the game, which obviously that happens. That's part of it. But if there's anything I have noticed, it's that it has been that first period. And then, like someone mentioned, you will have like that last little bit in the third period where they try and do something. It's like, oh, well, they tried to come back, or, it's too little, too late. Well, yeah, because you can't just play the last few minutes of the game.
Yep.
I mean, it's try, pumping a goal in there right away and playing with a lead and, see how that works
out.
Well,
you know, it is really hard to start a game strong when the ice is so bad in every arena.
Yeah.
That's true.
And only this team. It doesn't impact the opponents.
Robot.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, and right. I mean, we didn't hear anyone else complaining about the ice that was too thick or anything like that. So, Mason, I guess, you know, the follow-up I have for you then is this a question of preparation then? I mean, does this fall on the coaching staff to get this team ready to play every night?
I think, and like Yo will talk about it. I mean, Yo says all the time, like, talks about how, and he's been around for 5 years now, right? Like he talks about it like it's been a thing during his era that, you know, to be in fairness, he probably inherited it. That they just have slow starts to games, and when they let that get the best of them, then they're you know behind, and they're chasing for 50 minutes, and I don't know if it is a preparedness thing. Yo can't go out there and skate and just, you know, have the energy that they need in order to come out with the energy that they need to play a good game in the first 5 minutes of the game. Somebody said it best, like recently, like when you're talking about a good coach and all that, it's like he can make those in-game decisions that are game changers. He can, you know, kind of shuffle around with chemistry and the lineup in order to kind of manifest that kind of chemistry, but he's not going to go out there and score the goals for the guys. He's not going to go out there and support the puck in the corner and make sure that there's enough support there in order to generate the plays that need it. He can't get out there and play the first 5 minutes himself. So I don't think it's on Yo. It would be hard to put that on, like, you know, the video guy. Like, I mean, they have their jobs. You know, they do their jobs. Yo puts the guys on the ice. The guys got to play. It comes down to that.
You got a problem with that, Heather?
No. I mean, I agree with that. I don't think it's necessarily Yo, you know, Yo's fault that they're not getting off to a good start. I said before, at some point, you know, they got to look around at each other or on the bench or whatever, and you know, I feel like, I mean, I don't know, obviously we're not there. We don't know what they say to each other for, you know, team camaraderie or whatever. But, yeah, it's like one of those things where, I mean, some things got to change, you know, and it needs to come from the players.
Yeah. It's either the change either has to come from the players, or the players have to change, or the players have to be shown a message. And unfortunately, then we're talking about, well, how are they showing a message? And then it's usually at the sacrifice of the coach. So, but right back to where we were last year. Hopefully, we're not that low in our attitude towards the end of the season, where we start talking about, you know, fire Yo and all that. I don't think anybody is realistically there. At least not within this within this collective tonight. But. You know, the nerd brood out there in the hockey world, or the Minnesota Wild hockey world, might be, but you know, I don't think we're that desperate just yet.
Well, where are Yo's advanced stats on that?
That's a good segue.
Yeah. Advanced stats. Okay, is my audio be back?
Well, I think Nick's phone is still kind of messed up, so.
He's still using that Nokia from 1994.
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the questions that I had, you know, Mason, you talked about Heather. You said either the change has to come from the players or we have to change the players. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about potential pickup of Jonathan Drouin and Michael Russo the other night mentioned also Ryan Nugent-Hopkins' name out there, as well as Logan Couture as a possibility. Heather, do you have any feelings on any of these three guys for, you know, who we'd want to potentially look at as far as pickup?
I don't. I haven't looked into those players too much. I've kind of been more focused on the team we have right now. I mostly because I don't know. I don't know. I'm part of me is kind of hoping we don't get somebody just because, you know, I don't know. I feel like maybe that might be better if we, because I don't want them to give away too much either. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything where I really think, oh, that could really benefit them. And so I just, yeah, I guess I don't have a too strong of an opinion on any of these guys. I haven't looked into them too much.
I'm always a bleeding heart for the current roster too. Like I want them to figure it out rather than a change to an external change. You know, like Dubik last year. You know, I'm probably on record hoping that there wasn't a big kind of acquisition. And then when we got Dubnik, I was like, all right, well, that's fine. You know, it's not like he's a superstar goalie or anything. And then he turned out to be a superstar goalie or anything. But I always want the current band of idiots that I love to figure it out. So I'm with you there. Whether it's between Juan and RNH and who is the other guy, the Horseface Couture or whatever. I like all three of those guys to an effect, but I think all three of those guys are going to take a whole lot in return, or demand a whole lot in return. Like Heather said, to give up too much. Mainly, like, you know, we've heard, you know, Dumba being bandied about as far as what it might take, and I don't know. We might be deep in D, but but. I don't know if it's worth it. You know, it's tough to say. Like all three of those guys are good. I'd probably be more comfortable with Nugent Hopkins and Couture before Drouin because of, you know, there's some controversy there and there's some angsty stuff there too that, you know, might be tough in the locker room. But look at what Johansson's done in Nashville, despite them not being able to win until they play the Wild. So. You know, guys can turn it around with a different change of scenery, like Nino did the first time. But you know, it's always a gamble.
Well, for what it's worth, last night the Wild Extra Twitter account threw out a poll: who's the most worth it, Jonathan Drouin, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, or Logan Couture? It was really close. RNH got 35%, Couture got 34%, and Drouin got 31%. So that tracks exactly with what you're saying, Mason.
Wow.
If it's
that even and like all things considered, well, don't take the guy that's been holding out or whatever, like, you know,
the
other two guys who are, I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is in the situation he's in because the Oilers have been that bad to happen to select him. And that's not his fault. Couture has been a soldier for San Jose for how many years now? And kind of quietly taken over that team from a real production standpoint. But, and then, I don't know, that's interesting. I'm sorry I didn't see that poll that you put out there last night, Mike.
Nick, is your landline working yet?
Holy shit.
There we go.
Hey, organic Nick is back.
I went all the way, I saw the wizard, it was amazing.
Are you on, like, an actual telephone?
Oh, no, I'm actually on Skype, but actual telephone was shitting the bed.
Is it one of those rotary phones?
I don't fucking know. Let's just talk about hockey.
Welcome back, Nick.
He had to hit the thing, like, five times, and then an operator picked up.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Nick, well, what do you think about all that crap that we just talked about that you probably missed?
What were we talking about?
Drouin versus Drouin, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins versus Horseface Couture.
I don't know.
Next question.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know. I don't like that Drouin hasn't been playing center, even though he has in the past. I mean, here's the thing: we got enough of those guys. Yeah, we need somebody to help us right now. You know,
in center,
none of those dudes really does it for me.
If I had my druthers, I'd go for Logan Couture because I think he's the oldest of those three, and he's been playing in San Jose, so he's been playing in a you know, decent environment. On the other hand, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins does have more points than Granlund, and he's been playing in fucking Edmonton. So
who doesn't have more points than Granlund?
My mom.
It's true. My mom, well, too. Sitting at
okay,
0 points.
So a guy that, I don't know, did you guys talk about Nino?
Not
no.
yet.
Do okay, so let me just put this in perspective on Nino for a minute. Because I think he really typifies the overall scoring woes that we have in general right now. And by that I mean, just to break down his last five games versus the five games prior to that. So the last five games, he's got 0-0-0, -3, and 8 shots on goal. And the five games prior to that, he had 1-3-4, he was +1, and he had 10 shots on goal, I think. Okay, so, you know, what do the numbers – there are obviously numbers out there that indicate that he is contributing. We got into a good discussion about this on Wild Extra this week. Because we got into such a good discussion about it on Wild Extra this week, Mace, why don't you set us up with your perspective on this, and we'll see where that takes us.
Well, I don't know. I know that, you know, you and Tony kind of laid into me about it, but, like, the fact is for me is, well, first thing is, like, yes, I understand that it's really nice when a player has a positive impact on a team, no matter why they were, you know, maybe truly brought onto a team. But that's a matter of kind of opinion on why you think player X was brought, you know, why the GM went out and got that player. I can't imagine that Chuck Fletcher said to himself, I'm going to bring Nino Niederreiter onto the team in order to have a positive impact. He brought Nino Niederreiter in to score goals because that's what his scouting report said. So that's the one thing. The other thing is that no one, like, tell me if I'm wrong here, but no one ever talks about a player's deep stats like that unless there's a more glaring stat that isn't being productive.
Yes.
Like, right? Like if for the sake of example, we're talking about Nino, he's not scoring goals. So no one is ever going to talk about his 5-on-5 when close unless he's not scoring goals. Because does anybody ever talk about Alexander Ovechkin's advanced stats? No, because the motherfucker scores goals. Right? Does anybody ever talk about Pavel Datsyuk's advanced stats? No, because he sets up every freaking play that the Red Wings score on. Like, no one talks about them unless something wrong, you know, something's wrong. And that's the problem I have with using advanced stats as an excuse to kind of, like, paint a different picture than the glaringly obvious one. And, you know, that's where Nino is. Like, it appears, you know, because of these stats and, like, because, like, he's getting some shots here and there, it appears that he's trying, but, like, he just can't execute. So,
yeah.
And the third thing is that none of these, like, deep stats that are used to justify his existence tell us why he's not scoring goals. Great. So he's defensively, you know, sound. Okay. You know, he's generating a lot of shots for the team. Great. Why can't he score a goal? None of those stats are going to tell us why he can't score a goal.
Heather, is he snake bit, Nino?
I don't think he's snake bit. We were talking about this before. I saw the word snake bit today, talking about the Wild in general, you know, specifically with the last couple games. And I was not ready to use that word yet with any of these guys. It just doesn't feel like a snake bit situation to me where they're just giving this masterful effort night in and night out and they just can't get the breaks, you know, the puck luck, as people like to say. I don't think it's that. I'm not sure what it is. Talking about the stats, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't really looked at advanced stats very much. I'm not a huge stat person in general. But for me, what matters is, you know, goals and assists. That's, you know, that's a big deal. And if pucks aren't going in, I think, and use the word execute, I think that's a big one. That's a lot of what gets talked about a lot of the time is the effort and, you know, kind of that, you know, moral victory type stuff. All the effort was there, you know, they're trying to create chances, and, you know, obviously that's all good, but, you know, ultimately you need to get pucks in the back of the net and do whatever you have to do or change, you know, if something's not working to try and make that happen. And, you know, there's a few times where I've seen Nino lately just kind of, I don't know, slow the play down when he's going into the zone, or he'll stop and wait for a teammate. You know, I don't, maybe I'm making that all up in my head. It's just, I feel like I've seen him approach it differently lately. And I, you know, I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on exactly what he's doing differently, but it just, it seems like there's something different. It, you know, if he's more timid, if he doesn't, you know, if he's losing some confidence there, you know, I'm not quite sure what it is. But it just, it seems like something is, has changed, and I'm not really sure where to go with that, I guess. But I don't think it's a situation of being snake bit. I mean, to me, that's, I feel like that'd be more for, you know, a situation if Parisi, you know, just, he can't catch a break, like, you know, four times in the same period, he's right in the crease on the doorstep and he just can't get the puck in, you know, it just bounces away from him or he gets knocked down or whatever. That might be more of a situation for that.
I gotta agree with the just the entire notion that you gotta earn the label of being snake bit. Like, it takes effort first. Great point.
Yeah. Mike, is there? It's a pretty fine line, I would say, between, you know, sort of catching a break and making your own breaks. Where on that continuum do you see the Wild right now?
I don't see them really putting in the effort to claim that right now. I mean, they're not, you know, I would say that they would, you could call them snake bit, or they don't have any luck if, you know, Thomas Vanek had 10 shots on net in the last two games. He has zero. You know, we saw this earlier in the season with Pominville. I was at the Nashville game when Zach Parise got hurt, and I saw Jason Pominville in that game look like a man completely defeated. He wasn't skating hard. He wasn't, you know, he'd break into the zone and with the puck, and, you know, he'd skate down to the dots, and, you know, then he'd you know, flip it back to the defense. You know, he wouldn't even shoot on net. He had a clear shot on net. He wouldn't even take it. That's what the whole team looks like right now. They look like men that are just defeated. They don't look like they're trying. They don't look like they're putting in the effort right now. And that's what's so frustrating. I mean, that's what just puts me to sleep when I'm watching a game. It's like, you know, these motherfuckers don't care. Why should I care right now? Why should I be putting the effort to keep my eyes open and watch these guys right now? You know, that's what's so frustrating about this team right now. You know, they don't look like they're trying. They, you know, you absolutely have to make your own luck in this, in the NHL. I personally don't believe in puck luck. I believe in, you know, you put in the effort and good things will happen, and the effort is not being there, so good things are therefore not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Bringing up Pominville is, I mean, he's been horrid for most of the season, and then he had like maybe a week that he was good, and now he's back to being a, like an Arizonan or a Floridian kind of gated retirement community where goal scoring goes to die. Like, it's exactly what, you know, Heather said, like, we're tentative, like pulling back and, you know, waiting for a pass instead of having a clear lane. Like, it's just horrible. It's like, I just don't get it. Like, it's gotten worse with Pominville. It's just a sound dampening, but it, there's just, instead of sound, it's goals, and they just don't happen. It's bad.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So to sum up what I've heard tonight, this team may or may not be in trouble, but in any event, it's not playing real good. And it is, you know, the sort of the sum of the parts, with the exception of, I would say, Doobie. And maybe Suter, and that's about it. So fairly grim right now, my friends. And to that end, is there anything before we jump to final thoughts that anybody think, anything else that people wanted to talk about?
I want to bring up one other thing, and maybe it's just going to be me on a rant, but if you guys have any opinions on it as well, please do chime in. But recently, I think we had a power play opportunity, or power player, or one or two in the last couple games here, But there was a stretch where we weren't getting a whole lot of calls, and like, you know, Russo was real vocal about it, how it was like freakishly small amount of power plays being called. And during that stretch, yeah, it was just last week, you know, like I had a coworker at, IM me at work and be like, hey man, like he's not from Minnesota. So like, he's one of those, you know, Detroit guys that are, you know, Detroit can do no wrong and they're the best thing ever. And he's like, hey, what, why aren't you guys getting any calls? You know, aren't you selling your calls? And I'm like, there were a lot of things that I wanted to say to that, but there were a lot of things, like, you know, NSFW things that I wanted to say to that, like, to the fact that selling your calls, like, you know, I think I just, like, very diplomatically said something like, oh, I'll keep that shit in Detroit, but honestly, like, that really bothered me. Like, that is that a thing that you guys, you know, are aware of? Like, you know, Nick, you play a lot. Like, if doubles were here, maybe he'd be able to talk about that a little bit more from a refing standpoint. But, my stance on it was, like, if that's a thing, I don't want any part of it to, you know, the dishonorable aspect of selling your calls. Like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Like, I hope not. Like,
I'd agree with that.
has anybody heard anything, like, where that's... That's the reason why the Wild aren't getting, you know, penalties called for in their benefit? Like, because we stand up?
I haven't heard that, no.
Well,
I haven't heard that at all. But
okay, good.
Did we get called any more in our favor when we had Matt Cook on the team?
That's a good point. Like, Matt Cook certainly wasn't getting the benefit of the doubt, I'm sure. But then the thing that really... bothered me too is in the last game when Dumba did that back check where he did the penguin slide, and he got up and then he was on his feet when he hit the goal, and the goal was dislodged and he was called for delay game, and then they scored on it. Like, and I'm wondering if he had stayed on his belly and slid and done, you know, the midsection into the post, and he couldn't get up, it's cool, you know, like, would he have been called? I wonder. But he like tried to get up, and was that to our detriment that he actually tried to get up? And that really bothered me, that call was the call for delay of game. It just seemed ridiculous. Like, either the ref wasn't even looking, or the ref saw that he got to his skates and thought that he had enough time to get out of the way of the mooring, but which was ridiculous to me. But I don't know what it is, but like, that really bothered me, that that's a thing that maybe people do to try to get more calls for their team, and that's something that fans want to see their team do, like, to try to sell calls.
I don't know if it's so much that, or if it's just when you stop moving your feet is when you stop getting calls.
Yeah.
You know, when you keep moving your feet, you know, when you're constantly moving, and, you know, that's when you're going to get the calls. You know, if you feel that, you know, a stick on your midsection and you're just like, all right, I'm going to coast now, you're not going to get that call. If you keep, you know, skating as if you're trying to break free from that, that's when a ref is going to see that. That's when you're going to get the call. And the team is just not trying right now.
But to that point, though, you would think that Parisi would get, you know, would draw a penalty every single shift. And there may be some notion to it that, like, the refs know Parisi. They know that he's going to do everything possible, you know, within his 30 seconds of ice time, that shift. And, you know, they know that, like, honestly, he could draw a penalty every time, and they don't because he's Parisi. I is there anything to that? Does that make any sense? Like he, I don't want to say that the refs think, like, he's trying to draw penalties, but, like, but he tries so hard that everything looks like a penalty that prevents him from scoring a goal.
Well, I think that
could be the case. I mean, I guess I think, you know, as much as, you know, they probably say, oh, that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, they're looking at the play, but I think the players involved
for sure
often, I mean, that matters. You know,
Matt Cook.
It's why, you know, Matt Cook gets thrown to the box all the time. It's, you know, I think that has a lot to do with it. And I've seen plenty of plays where it's like, yep, Parisi's getting killed over there, but, you know.
Cross-checked, everything.
No one cares. And, you know, it's just, it's so interesting. And, you know, just the inconsistency, too, is, you know, really, really amazing sometimes. The game Friday night, and I don't remember which player it was, but it was, you know, one of our guys was just getting basically, he was, you know, on behind the net, just getting cross-checked in the back multiple times, and the ref is standing right there looking at it. He's looking directly at it and just stands there. And that's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts, too, is, you know, as much as they preach, like, oh, you know, we're going to crack down on this because, you know, we want to, you know, no shots to the head and injuries and all that, but just inconsistency, just it doesn't speak to that at all.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it matters.
No shots to the head, but you can get a cross check to your vertebrae as many times as possible as long as you're wearing a McCrinkleberry jersey.
Yeah.
I think another aspect was getting cross checked in the back of the head. In the back. By Stewart, of course.
Yeah. Yep.
I think another aspect on the Wild right now is we have been turnover machines, just giving the puck away.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't draw a penalty if you don't have the puck. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're chasing the team back towards your own goal, you're more likely to take a penalty than to draw a penalty. You know, I think it all blends together. I think it's all, these are all symptoms of the same thing. I don't have a problem with the Wild not being bigger divers or bigger Alex Burrowses or what have you. That's where you were going.
Maybe. You want James Neal on this team, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I definitely want James Neal. Okay, final thoughts. We're going to start with the rookie. Heather, what's your final thought?
Final thought is they obviously need to get their game back together on this road trip. I think, you know, it would be really beneficial for them to score a goal in the first couple minutes of the first period. And I'm not trying. I know that sounds really like, well, duh, but you know, I do. I mean, I
maybe
think
they hadn't
obviously
thought of that.
the longer that this goes on, the more they're going to be pressing, and I'm hoping that they're going to come out with some different effort or some, you know, better effort because, you know, like we were saying, it's just the, you know, not skating, not just not being fully there. And that needs to happen this week. There needs to be some kind of a spark, you know, if they come out the exact same way they have the past couple games, it's going to be a real issue and they're going to find themselves in the same kind of slump they have the past couple of years.
Yep. Yep. Yep, Jared Mason, final thoughts.
My final thought is, this is going to sound like I just miss doubles, but I do. But my final thought has to do with something I want to talk to him about on a podcast maybe next time. It's the coach's challenge and how I feel that it's not only just ridiculous, not only just, you know, adds cement to the game flow, but that it discredits the NHL referee and, you know, kind of obsoletizes them, which is a word that I just created, and demeans them. I mean, I hate it. I feel that like all of the overturned goals that we've seen, not only just in Wild games, but other games I've seen are just ridiculously just ridiculous in general, like the fact that they were overturned because of this, you know, one tiny little brush of a goaltender, or maybe the toe kick was just above, you know, just beyond the blue line. Like, why do we have these refs there? Why do we have four of them? Why does the league continue to talk about how great their refereeing is? And then they go and do the stupid video replay that takes like 5 minutes. And then they overturn it, and they make themselves look like they're not—they don't know how to do their job. Like when it's such a finite like difference, it feels horrible to me. And I would love to talk about it more, but maybe not tonight. But I hate it.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. You know, it's almost like the NHL is willing to have games be decided by something as gimmicky as a shootout.
Right.
And, you know, frankly, and or 3-on-3 overtime.
Yeah.
But, you know, the minute element of potential human error in not seeing a goalie who gets brushed or a guy who, you know, was half a toenail over, offside, which frankly
yep.
never is the cause of a goal, right? It never directly leads to a goal.
Yeah.
But those things are bad, you know.
And like the recent example is the goal that was scored against the Wild recently that was overturned because of the guy was in the crease. And like I understand the rule that the guy was in the crease and had Dubnyk gone there and tried to play his position, he would not have been able to. But it's not like the refs don't know that fucking rule until they go to the video replay, right? They know the rule. They made a judgment on the ice, and how is that not good enough, I guess, is my question. And when they go to video replay, it makes their judiciousness like illegitimate at that point. Like it doesn't matter. Like we'll just go to video replay and we'll get the right call because these refs don't know what they're doing. That's what bothers me, and that's definitely what I want Dub's opinion on.
One you of just love games. The refs.
Yeah, we just love the stripes.
On you. Mikey, what do you got?
How the hell am I going to follow that up? Jeez.
It is what it is, Mike.
Man. You son of a bitch. Yeah, you know, Granlund makes my cold little heart cry. He has got to be better. He was turning the puck over. He was soft on the puck last night. It made my heart shrink by two sizes just watching him play last night. He has got to be better. I actually much prefer him on a lower line, a third or fourth line. I think that would be more in his wheelhouse, you know, less pressure on him. I would love to see the Wild try Charlie Coyle with Zach Parise and anyone not named Jason Pominville on the second line. Granlund, I really truly believe that he would be much better if he were out there not against the top defensive line of the other team, but you know, we know he can hit. I mean, I've seen the guy hit. He actually knows how to do it. He seems to enjoy it when he's out there, you know, when he's dropped to a fourth line temporarily or when he's out there against some heavier players, he throws hits. If that's what he's doing, let him do that. You know, put him out there on the third or fourth line. You know, give him a depth opportunity against not the hardest line to play against and just see what he can do. I mean, you know, if his NHL ceiling is going to be Rob Niedermeyer, you know, an excellent third or a third line center or checking line center, go for it, man. You know, that's then give him a chance. Give him a shot at his dream in the NHL. You know, try him out there. Let him see what he can do. But, you know, to continue this experiment it's enough to drive me to drinking. You know, it's enough to make me want to mix my Johnny Walker Blue with Coke. It's so frustrating to watch him try to play and to lose the puck so easily that it leads to a goal or that, you know, he breaks into the zone and the other team's just, you know, hey, buddy, I'm going to take that puck from you. Okay, sure. You know, and then they go back the other way. Well, you know, a little bit of Jarrett Stoll, fuck you, I'm going to keep this puck, would do him some good.
I don't know, Berger.
Well,
I think you called Mace pretty well.
I think that was really close. I think that was the most zany, Wild idea ever. play Granlund to take the body.
I like your Granlund impression there. It sounded a lot like the Simpsons kid with the loot. But okay.
Hear me say my loot.
I'm a Viking.
Anyway, nice job there, Bergie. All right, two final thoughts. One, the calendar. While it continues, it's the conclusion, the rest of its four-game road trip with 3 dates out in California. We got Anaheim on Wednesday, LA Kings on Thursday, back-to-back. That's always fun. And the Sharks in San Jose on Saturday afternoon. And I just noticed that the Anaheim game is NBCSN, which means we get motherfucker of motherfuckers, the worst TV team in the league. That's awesome. awesome, outstanding. Gonopolis, Ehlers, A-holers, and the big douchebag Brian Haywood. Final thought number one. Final thought number two is, okay, we're going to play a little game here. This player played his first 32 games of this season. He had 6 goals, 16 assists for 22 points. That comes out to 0.687 points per game on pace over an 82-game schedule of 56.37 points. In the 11 games, including the game in which he played against the Wild, and since then, he has 8 goals, 6 assists for 14 points, 1.27 points per game. It's a pace over 82 of 68.65. I said it during the game when he lit us up for, I think, 2-1. Sidney Crosby, ladies and gentlemen. He is since he played the Wild, he has elevated his pace, points pace for the season, by 12.3 whatever fucking points.
We're helpers.
We're so helpful to other players.
We're such givers. Just to put that in perspective, the leading point scorer on the Wild right now is Mikko Koivu, who is on pace for 60.13 points for the season. 60. That's 8 off of Crosby's pace. Now, obviously, 68 points in the season is a bad season for Sidney Crosby. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But still, and because of the Wild, he's going to be on pace
back
to be our number one scorer by a comfortable mark.
We're awesome. A rebound team, man. We've always been a rebound team.
We're something.
Whatever ails you, we're the tonic.
Yeah. Well, Carter Hutton, best in the trophy. Right now, I called it.
You got stains? Play the Minnesota Wild.
Just saying. Shuddy?
Yeah.
First Shuddy at home? Carter Hutton. Yeah. All right. Listen, this is a bit of a grouse episode, but it's a bit of a grouse situation for the Minnesota Wild right now. We thank everybody for listening to the 5-Minute Major for Jared Mason, Mike Berg, and Heather. This is Nick in New York. Thank you for listening, and we will be back with you soon.